Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call of Tarsan Products Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to point out that this conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Sehgal, Promoter and Chairman and Managing Director of Tarsan Products Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Q2 for the year 2026 earnings conference call of Tarsan Products Limited. I'm joined by our CFO, Mr. Santosh Agarwal, and SGA, our investor relations partners. Tarsan is one of the leading plastic manufacturing companies in India and continues to strengthen its global presence with steady progress and growing traction in the export market. We are pleased to report revenue and EBITDA growth for the first half year of 2026, reflecting the resilience of our core operations, while profit after tax has been temporarily impacted by accelerated depreciation and high borrowing costs associated with our ongoing capacity expansion projects coming on stream. Cash PAT has shown a healthy upward trend, underscoring the inherent strength and sustainability of our business model. We believe that the plastic lacquer industry, both in India and globally, offers significant long-term growth opportunities driven by increasing adoption of high-quality lacquer consumables and rising investment in life science and research. With our expanded product portfolio, enhanced manufacturing capacity, and the enduring trust built around the Tarsan brand over decades, we are well-positioned to capture this growth, and as we move forward, we remain confident of delivering stronger revenue performance and improved profitability, leveraging our scale, operational efficiencies, and deep industry expertise. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO for Tarsan, for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining our Q2 H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. Our results and earnings presentation have been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website, and I hope everyone had the opportunity to go through the same. Over the past several quarters, Tarsan has delivered consistent performance despite a challenging industry environment marked by significant headwinds. The steady growth in revenue and profitability during this period reflects our expanding market share and our ability to outperform overall industry growth. Our sustained performance in the face of sectoral challenges showcases the resilience of our business model, the superior quality of our products, and the enduring trust that Tarsan as a brand enjoys within the life science industry. We have been steadily expanding our market share in the domestic market, deepening our customer relationships, and increasing our wallet share across customers and industry. While the export business continues to face challenges due to global uncertainties and trade tensions, we remain focused on strengthening our international presence through consistent marketing and distribution efforts. Our participation in global fairs and exhibitions, coupled with the strong value proposition of our diverse product portfolio, cost-efficient manufacturing base, and upcoming capacity additions, positions us well to capture emerging opportunities in the global market. The ongoing inquiries and the customer engagement from international markets have been encouraging, and we are optimistic about meaningful order conversion as our expanded product portfolio is fully operational. In parallel, the integration of Narvi acquisition and the strategic substitution of overlapping products with our own manufactured offering are expected to contribute positively to both revenue and margins in the coming period. Our planned CapEx at the Panchala and Amta facility is nearing completion, and is expected to become fully operational by Q4 FY26. The expansion will significantly enhance our addressable market, enabling deeper penetration within our existing customer base through increased wallet share, while also helping us acquire new customers across diverse industries. As utilization levels ramp up through FY27 and FY28, we anticipate a strong turnaround in both revenue and profitability. Higher revenue, supported by favorable product mix and improved operating leverage, are expected to drive margin expansion. In parallel, we remain focused on enhancing operational efficiency and automation across our manufacturing process, which will further strengthen profitability and sustain long-term growth. Let me now take you through the financial performance for quarter and H1. On a standalone basis, revenue for Q2 FY26 stood at around 81 crore, and revenue for H1 FY26 stood at 152 crore. EBITDA for Q2 FY26 came in at 26 crore compared to 23.5 crore in Q2 FY25, reflecting a growth of around 11% YOY. For H1, EBITDA stood at 48.4 crore, registering a growth of 19% YOY. EBITDA margin for Q2 FY26 stood at 32.5% versus 29.3% in Q2 FY25, reflecting an improvement of 320 basis points. For H1 FY26, EBITDA margin stood at 31.9%, an increase of 390 basis points YOY. Profit after tax for Q2 FY26 stood at 6.5 crore compared to 12.9 crore in Q2 FY25. For H1 FY26, PAT stood at 10.1 crore compared to 19.4 crore in H1 FY25. The decline in profitability is primarily attributable to higher depreciation expenses of 20 crore arising from the partial capitalization of Panchgaon facility. Once the facility will be fully commissioned and revenue contribution commences, PAT margin is expected to return to normalized level. Speaking of our consolidated performance, consolidated revenue for the quarter was 102 crore, marking a growth of 3% compared to Q2 FY25. Revenue contribution from Norway during this quarter was around 22 crore. For H1, revenue growth stood at 193.7 crore. EBITDA for Q2 FY26 was around 27 crore, with EBITDA margin at 26.8%, and for H1, EBITDA stood at 52.1 crore, a growth of 18.4% YOY. EBITDA margin for H1 FY26 stood at 26.9%, an increase of 300 basis points YOY. PAT stood at 3.3 crore compared to 10.3 crore in Q2 FY25. While there has been a decline in PAT, we have continued to record healthy growth in the EBITDA. At the same time, we have maintained a strong focus on cash flow management, resulting in a significant improvement over the previous year. Our operating cash flow more than doubled from approximately 22 crore in H1 FY25 to about 44 crore in H1 FY26. Furthermore, the EBITDA to operating cash flow conversion improved substantially from around 50% in H1 FY25 to 85% in H1 FY26, reflecting enhanced operational efficiency and disciplined working capital management. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on exports. So we are seeing a drop in exports in Q2. Last quarter, our commentary was that some of our exports deliveries have been shifted from Q1 to Q2. Even after that, there has been a drop in exports. So if you could just explain that. And secondly, how are the U.S. tariffs impacting us? If you could elaborate on that as well.
Sure. So regarding the export, The same thing also happened in Q2 also. Although we have some small brought forward from Q1, but in that Q2, there are large shipment which got withheld because of, you know, non-issuance of BL at the end of the quarter. So that's why you can see the drop in export. But we, as a company, we see a healthy growth in the order book of export, and we are quite optimistic about the export growth for Tarsem. That's number one. And second point is regarding US tariff. Of course, 50% tariff is a kind of no trade zone for everyone. But as we have a strong relationship with our US customers since more than a decade, so we have not lost any customers, we have not lost any orders. The things are going in a normal way, and both Tarsem and US customers both are optimistic about reduction in US tariff.
But if I look at the last 3 quarters, consistently your exports growth has been flattish or they have been degrowing. So is it purely because of, this freight issues, or is there something else? Have we lost any customer, or the US customers are not placing orders with us? And secondly, now this 50% tariff, so are the US customers not placing orders with us, and who's, bearing the impact of these higher tariffs?
The point is that in export, the order book is increasing. The only thing is that in some cases, we are not able to deliver because of our capacity constraint and, the machine commissioning issue. So we are hopeful that, by the end of this year, we are able to show growth in export. That's number one. And second part is regarding the loss of customer in US tariffs. We have not lost any customers. In fact, customers are quite supporting to us, and customers and Tarsem both are optimistic about, some reduction in tariffs. If required, we will discuss what are the tariff issue, but so far there is no impact.
We have been able to pass on the increased tariff to our customers. Would that be a fair assessment?
We have not discussed till that level. Currently, we are waiting for the US tariff trade deal. Once that deal will come, then we will discuss.
Understood. And sir, now in terms of newer geographies, if you could just help us understand about that. So if the tariffs continue to remain, is there potential for Tarsem to increase our exports in other geographies like Europe or Asia? And how quickly can we do that?
See, there is a huge potential. Worldwide market is quite huge, right? And we have not penetrated European market and other part of the world, right? So the opportunities are huge, and we keep on getting the large inquiries also. So we are also bullish on the US also. We don't think that, we need some kind of sluggish approach from US market. We don't foresee that. We believe that in this situation also, the US market and other part of the world also.
But sir, is it a long-term process where you have to take approvals from your customers and it would take around 6 to 9 months to start supplying, or you could immediately start doing it?
Not really. It's just we need to send the samples to them, and they need to check that, and it will take, max 1 month to 2 month timeline. But the only thing is that, to get the comfort from the customers will take, some time.
Understood. So how should we look at your export growth this year? So last year, we did around 100 crores of exports from your standalone business. So do you expect to grow from that level, or you think that there might be some kind of a degrowth considering the tariff situation?
Global situation, tariff situation is beyond our control, right? What we can do that, the discussions with our customers are going very healthy, and we are very much optimistic about that, and we all work for the growth of the company and for the both for domestic and export market. So we are quite optimistic about the export growth. As a company, we don't give any kind of, sales guidance or earning guidance.
Understood, sir. And sir, coming to the domestic market, if you could just help us understand how the outlook for the domestic market. So we are seeing some drop in growth this quarter. So is it just a blip or something else is happening in the market? Because if you see other domestic players, they had higher contribution from exports. And since exports has taken a hit for many of them, are you seeing increasing price competition in the domestic markets?
Competition is always there. Competition is keep on increasing. New players are keep on coming. So as a Tarsan brand, we keep on. That's the reason why we keep on launching the new products to gain the wallet share. So challenges is always there, the competition is always there. But as a brand, as a Tarsan brand, we have a very good brand recall in India. So we believe in Tarsan brand, and we think that from going forward with the new product introduction, capacity expansion, we will be able to increase our wallet share in domestic market as well.
Understood. But sir, is there, you know, higher competition you are witnessing currently, higher than usual, or it's status quo?
Absolutely. High competition is there because it's a in some part of the area, it's customer treat this product as a commodity, but in other part of the area, it's more like a bioprocess and high-tech product. So Tarsan is in the middle of both the segment.
Understood, sir. And sir, now if I look at your other expenses, so last quarter there was a write-off of 6 crores. So if I adjust for that, there has been a sharp increase in other expenses on a year-on-year basis. So if you could explain, why is that?
The other expenses includes many components, and we can separately discuss those expenses. What are your queries are there? But in the published market, we don't give the bifurcation of other expenses.
Understood, sir. And sir, this Panchla capacity, what I understand was, first phase was related to the existing products. So has that part of the capacity been commissioned?
In Panchla, you know, some part of the capacity has been installed and commissioned. In some areas, we started doing production also. In some cases, the commissioning is in process, and that will complete by January of first. That's why we have said to the said in our presentation that by Q4 FY 2026, our Panchla facility will be fully ramped up in terms of production.
Understood, sir. Sir, my question is to Sanjeev, sir. Sir, if you could just talk about our acquisition at Norway. You know, it's been almost 2 years now since you have acquired that entity, but our revenues and profits have really gone anywhere. So if you could just help us understand what issues we are facing over there, and what is our outlook for that business in the coming 3-4 years?
So I will give the answer on behalf of Sanjeev, sir, on that, because I am taking care of the acquisition part also. So the Norway acquisition was not a financial acquisition, it was a strategic acquisition, number one. Number two is that at the time when we have acquired this company, we have seen that there is a product overlap, and there is a good brand recall for Norway brand in Germany. So we wanted to, you know, leverage other products which they are not selling. That was the whole idea. Now, what is happening in last 2 years, German economies are not doing well. The other larger companies are also not showing any kind of growth. On the contrary, they are showing degrowth. In this situation, Norway is doing good job by showing a flat kind of growth, right? Currently, as a company, we have not started supplying to them. The reason is that currently we are focusing on completing our organic CapEx, and we are focusing on external customers with whom we have a large commitment, and we wanted to supply their order first. Once this organic CapEx will be fully ramped up and we are able to, you know, satisfy our external customer demand, then we will focus on, you know, supply to the Norway brand. And second part is that we are launching the new product, which we are also, you know, pushing to Norway brand, so that, you know, the sales will increase in Norway also.
Understood, sir. And sir, lastly, you know, the share price has corrected a lot, and most of our CapEx is now on the verge of completion. So is there any plans for the promoter to increase their stake in the company?
Currently, there is no plan to increase the stake in the company. Currently, we are fully focused to how to increase the business for us.
Understood, sir. Thanks for answering the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jasdeep Walia from Clockvine Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yeah, Jasdeep. Hi, Jasdeep.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, your sales in the domestic market also have been subdued. Can you comment on, you know, where, in which product segments have you seen weakness and reasons behind the same?
See, Jasdeep, domestic market on a quarterly basis, we should not, you know, see the results for domestic market on a quarterly basis. We should see the results on a basis of, you know, 6 months, 9 months, or 1 year timeline. In domestic market currently, competition is there. Competition is there, and new players are also coming. We are also, you know, not able to give what price some customers are offering. Always these kind of situations are there in the market. Only good part is that we are launching the new products, and we are getting good response for that. Going forward, we can see incremental revenue from the new products as well.
Got it, sir. So for the full year, do you expect the domestic market to grow at its usual rate of growth of, let's say, 10-12%, or even that will be difficult?
Jasdeep, we don't, as I already said, as a company, we always want a growth for the company. We have internal target, but in the earning calls or to the market, we don't give any kind of guidance.
Got it, sir. Also you started the commissioning, you commissioned phase one of Panchlab facility in first quarter. Have you seen significant scale-up in sales in that phase one facility in 2Q, and how do you see trends in third quarter and fourth quarter for phase one?
Not significant. In Panchlab facility, basically, we launched the bioprocess products like PETG bottles and roller bottles. Now we started getting good response from the customers. Approval, we are getting, we started getting approval. So we have not got significant sales, but some sales started flowing for, you know, PETG bottles kind of products. And part of the capacity expansions related products also commissioned, and the sales is also coming from that, but not significant. So the products where we are doing the capacity expansion, we foresee a good amount of sales going forward from FY 2027, and, you know, good start for new products in FY 2027 as well.
Got it, sir. Sir, what will be the peak depreciation once all your CapEx is complete?
For FY 2026, my peak depreciation should be in the range of 85-90 crore rupees, as I already said. In FY 2027, my peak depreciation will be in the range of 100-105 crore rupees.
100-105?
Yeah. That will be.
This was FY 2020. Got it. FY 2026, it will be 85-90.
Absolutely.
Got it.
It can be the situation that, you know, if we are not able to capitalize some machines and molds in this year, that depreciation will go to FY 2027, but more or less, the number should be in the same range.
Got it. And sir, have you taken some price reductions, and hence can we assume that volume growth in the business has been higher than the value growth that we see in reported numbers?
We have not, neither we reduced the prices nor we increased the prices, and whatever numbers you are seeing, that came purely from the volume.
Got it, sir. And in Nerve, in rupee terms, we see some growth in Nerve as well. That is only account of rupee depreciation, or there has been some growth in constant currency as well on YOY basis?
You are right. No, you are right. That is on account of rupee depreciation.
Got it, sir. And sir, what's your estimate of peak debt?
Yeah, sorry?
Sir, what's your estimate of peak debt in the business once all the CapEx is complete?
See, in India, on a standalone basis, my total debt in the balance sheet is about to be 285 crore rupees. We don't think that the debt go beyond 350 crore rupees, because some LC has been issued, which can get converted into debt going forward. But at the same time, we are also repaying the loans on a disciplined basis. So we don't see that my total debt on a standalone basis can go beyond 350 crore rupees.
Okay, and what about consolidated? We need to add 100 crore on 350. 450 will be peak consolidated.
Yeah, 100 crore is there, and the repayment is also happening for that. So including put together, my peak debt should not go beyond, I don't think, 425-450 crore rupees.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh from Greek Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to know on the capex of this 251 crore of capital work in progress, when this would get commercialized?
See, this 251 crore of capex work in progress, it includes some parts of Panchila facility and major parts of Amta facility. So both of them will get commissioned within March, within fourth quarter. So you will start seeing the depreciation, some capitalization in Q3 and the remaining capitalization by Q4 FY26.
Okay, so by 26 March, your net block will be somewhere 760 crore. Is there more capex to be done on this? H1, I think you have spent about 70 crore. What is to be spent now?
See, if you see my balance sheet, my capital advances is about to be 64 crore rupees and my CWIP will be to 51 crore rupees. So this two will go to main segment of capex or fixed assets by Q3 and Q4.
Okay, so in cash flow statement for H2, there won't be meaningful capex to complete this one.
So, if you see my cash flow statement, you will find that my total capex outflow is about to be 71 crore. The reason
that is for H1.
Yeah, I'm talking about H1.
So, in H2, it won't be such kind of numbers. Is my assumption right?
It depends. It will be, you know, too early to comment on that because we need to check what kind of payment is due for different machine suppliers and what kind of capex LC due dates are there. So currently, I cannot comment on that, but we can separately discuss on that.
Okay. Given that after commercializing, these are the two really big facilities, is there any plan to shut down the old facility or everything would run together?
Everything will run together because all the facilities are all revenue generating facility and Panchila and Amta are the additional capacity which we built. So there is no question of closing down any entity.
Okay, so far you have been in the labware segment. Is there any plans to go to the other pharma segments like injectables and anything?
No, we will focus only in the plastic laser only.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you very much, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I'm trying to understand our domestic revenue is flat at 200 crore levels for the past 4 years. In the same time, our net block has increased from 163 crores to 730 crores. So where is this, the gross block has increased from 160 crore to 730 crores. So what is the issue that we can't, there is no growth in the domestic business nor excluding Norway, there might be some growth in our export business. So where is the business lacking between the capacity creation and the revenue flowing to our numbers?
Sure. See, whatever capex we have done, that capex has been done for generating the revenue for next 4 to 5 years, right? That's number one. Number second is that regarding domestic revenue is not stagnant. If you see our 4 to 5 year of financial, domestic revenue has shown good amount of growth. Even in the last year also, our revenue has increased to 215 crore rupees. Here, as we already said, market is tough. We are facing competition. That's why we are launching the new product. But we find that Tarsan has a good brand recall overall in the industry, not only in India, but also we are in the emerging market also. So we are quite bullish that, you know, with this kind of capex, with this kind of new product, the revenue will increase. But revenue will not increase in 1 year, 2 years, and we are not able to, you know, utilize the full capacity in 1 year, 2 years. If we are able to utilize the full capacity in next 3 to 5 years.
Right. So no doubt regarding that we'll utilize our capacity. But sir, The gross block has increased. If I look at the FY21, okay, got it, sir. So we have invested closer to 150 crores in the Amta facility. So what kind of charges were paid for the radiation and the sterilization charges that we expect cost savings from with this in-house product, the process moving in-house?
Sir, we have not built the radiation facility to save any kind of cost. The objective of doing the investment in radiation facility is to reduce the dependency on the existing sole vendor based out in West Bengal. If we don't build this facility, then we will face problem in the future. That was the objective in our mind. That's why we built this radiation facility. Of course, Panchla and Amta put together in the production area will have large percentage of sterile goods, which will help us to get the operating leverage going forward. Of course, we will save money also, but not immediately. So the objective was not to save money. Objective was to reduce the dependency, because if that outsourced factory will shut down their shop, then we have to do all sterilization from north or west part of India. So that will be quite expensive for us. So we are quite optimistic about the saving also going forward, but not in the short term.
So what were the charges that we incurred for these radiation or sterilization during FY24 and FY25?
Basically, my radiation percentage charges is about to be, 1.5% something on my top line.
Got it. Sir, my next question was, sir, we've created so much capacity, and we expect that it will help us grow over the next three, four, five years. So how has been the new customer addition, either in the ODM segment or, yeah, if you could just help us understand new customer addition in the domestic market, either and the ODM segment?
We are getting a good number of new inquiries in the ODM segment. We keep on getting good inquiries. In the domestic markets, I think we touched most of the customers, right? Sometimes it can be the case that they don't take the goods from us, or they take from others, or sometimes they take from us, not from them, right? So in domestic market, if you ask any customer, they know Starsun. But in case of export market, we are an emerging company, and we keep on getting the large OEM inquiries as well as the branded goods inquiry as well.
Sir, so have we been able to get into any new customers? So have we been able to get into new customers, or have we seen an agreement or contractual, whatever it might be, with our current existing customers that they will scale up their business as and when our capacity is available?
See, we are launching the new products, right? So we were not able to supply these products in the past, right? So we are going to supply the new products to the same set of customers, right? Right. So we are increasing the wallet share of the existing customer in most of the cases.
Got it. Sir.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Mukesh.
I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Shamit Ashar from Ambit Private Limited. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure the management can address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per person. If you have a follow-up, kindly rejoin the queue.
Yeah, hi.
Mr. Shamit?
Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. I wanted to know that you mentioned that you are getting orders from the U.S. customers, but you are not able to deliver the products because of capacity constraints. So what are your current capacity utilizations, and how are you seeing those expand in the future with Amta and Panchla coming in? And which all products have you launched during this quarter? And what's your product pipeline for the year? That's it.
We have not said about only U.S. customers. We are getting good number of orders across the world. And in some of the products, the orders are pending because of our capacity constraint, or some kind of machines are under commissioning. That's number one. Number two, hey, what are the products we have launched? We have launched many new products in last, not I will not comment on quarter-on-quarter basis. In last, I will say in the last 1 year, we have launched many products. Like we launched all the bioprocess related products like PET, PETG bottles, dollar bottles, etc. Right. So things are quite promising for us going forward, and we are working on that.
Okay. And on the capacity utilization levels, what are those percentages?
We cannot give the capacity utilization data. The reason is that currently we have more than 600 molds and more than 60 machines, right? And different and these molds and these molds are fungible, right? So it is very tough to give any kind of capacity utilization kind of situation. But on the existing plant, we can say overall they are 80% utilized.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I'm audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. So, sir, we mentioned that with the new capacity commissioning, the peak revenue potential is 350 to 400 crores, out of which close to 100 crores is the potential from the existing products, and then the rest is new products. Am I right on that?
Yeah, for example, if we are projecting about to be 400 crore of top line from the new facility, both Panchal and Anta, we believe that about to be 100 to 125 crore will come from the capacity expansion, and the remaining will come from the new.
Sure. So, so relating to this 100 to 125 crore of capacity expansion, in your assessment, what could be the ramp up timelines for this complete ramp up of 100 to 125 crores? Because these will be the products that we are selling currently as well. And the ramp-up could be in domestic or it could be in exports. But in your assessment, can we do a full ramp-up by FY28 or will that take even more longer?
See, the ramp-up will take about to be, I will say, 3 to 5 year timeline. And second...
So just for the existing capacity as well?
Yeah, I'm talking about the full place, whatever capex we have done in Panchal and Anta. But of course, for the capacity expansion on the existing product which we are doing, for that the capacity utilization will not take much time. It will be maybe 2 to 3 year timeline will be good enough to utilize the full capacity for the capacity expansion related products. But for the new products, it will take about to be, 3 to 5 year timeline.
Sure, got it. That's helpful. So 2 to 3 years for the capacity expansion. The other point is, this was discussed in the last call and a lot of discussion this call also about the price competition in the domestic market due to some overcapacity and sluggish demand. Now, for us, with such a big capital investment and capex commissioning, it becomes extremely essential for us to utilize that capacity once it gets committed. So what is our strategy to utilize this capacity in the next 3 to 5 years? What gives us confidence that despite such market conditions, we'll be able to scale up? And is there any backup, or will we be ready to sell aggressively by cutting price if utilization doesn't pick up? Some thoughts around that.
See, we don't cut prices for all the customers. We are giving a standard discount to our distributors, and distributor in turn gives some additional discount to their end customers as well, right? We give the additional discount to when we get the scale-up opportunity. When we get the volume, then only we give the special prices. Otherwise, we don't reduce the prices and play with our margins.
Got it. And sir, something around the ramp up that you mentioned, 3 to 5 years. What makes us so confident that we will be able to do it in 3 to 5 years? Because majority bulk of it is new products, which are again more technical in nature. There's a higher entry barrier to a breakthrough in those products. So what are the discussions with our customers, or what is the sense that we are getting on the scale up for the new products?
So whatever products we have seen for the validation, whatever products we have launched, we got good response. That gives us confidence that the going forward, these all capex will be gradually translated into revenue. And you know, Tarsan's brand has a good brand recall in India and also in the emerging market in the world also. So we are quite optimistic about the ramp up utilization. And second part is that we are the only one who are launching who have the silk culture facility in India, right? So that gives you know one kind of advantage for us as an early mover in next 1 or 2 years.
Got it. And sir, in the initial comments you mentioned, you know, on the order inquiries that you have received, I think from the international market. Can you elaborate a little more if you've received any sort of concrete orders or any new client wins that you would have added in the last few months? Yeah.
So we keep on getting orders from the existing customers worldwide, right? So there is no, there is only thing is that whatever new products we are launching, they are also giving us opportunity to supply those new products as well. So that kind of addition is keep on happening, right? So there is no major customer addition happened, or but we are getting the good number of inquiries in the world market.
Okay, sir. And these inquiries are mainly for the ODM or the branded product? Because I believe if we get an ODM contract, we can scale up pretty fast.
So we are getting the large number of inquiries are mainly for the ODM.
Okay, got it. And sir, can you tell us what would be the profitability or margin differential between ODM and branded for the international market?
So we already said that the international market is more competitive than the domestic market. The gross margins are lesser in export market than domestic market.
Okay, and ODM will be lower than branded. Sir? Yeah.
No, branded and ODMs are identical, but in compared to domestic, it is yours.
Oh, got it. All right. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
One question regarding the Nerbe thing. Want to understand what has been the total amount that has actually gone in so far in the company, and what has been the half-year performance in that entity, both in terms of top line and bottom line. The second question is that can you use that as a conduit to bypass the tariff barriers? Can you export to Nerbe and then from there it can be rerouted? Is there a possibility? Is there, so some companies have identified certain scenarios to reroute the exports to US in that way. So just want to understand that part.
Sir, we already given our P&L and balance sheet, so you can review the numbers and you can get back to us if you have any doubt. And second part is related to US tariff. As a company, we don't do don't prefer any kind of bypass route. We just follow the legal and legal route of export. And in US, certificate of origin is extremely important. And whatever goods we are supplying to US customer, European customer, they do the audit in our facility also. And they want straight supply from our factory, not through any other factory.
Sorry. So then we are halfway through, and just want to understand what are the things that didn't work for you as you actually planned and budgeted in the start of the year. What didn't work out, and what are the reasons?
The thing which is not worked out for us is are the things which is beyond our control, like global situation, like freight situation, like BIS implementation by government, like US size. So these things are, you know, are beyond our control. If these things will not have not came in our way, then our growth would have been, you know, much better, right? So that's the only grudge we have.
Got it. And in terms of your capex building and those two facilities, so that's all in line with the with your timeline, or there has been some delay, you think?
Absolutely, delay is there because of various reasons which we already discussed in our previous earnings call. But now things already shaped up, and we are quite hopeful that the all production capacity and everything will be fully ramped up in terms of capacity by Q4 FY26.
Well, in those two facilities, what is the kind of manpower you will actually have, and have you kind of when do you think you will actually start staffing those two units? fully?
So we have kept minimum number of manpowers which is required to run the facility currently. But we will increase the manpower gradually as the sales and production increase.
Got it. So what is your variable cost as a percentage of revenue? Sorry, your fixed cost as of now?
So it is very, very difficult to give the fixed percentage because there are many costs out there which are semi-variable in nature. So it is very tough. Only I can only say repair cost, employee cost, these are the expenses which are fixed in nature, and most of the other expenses are, you know, semi-variable in nature.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham from Perpetual Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Sir, can you please come closer to the mic?
Yeah, so is it better now?
Yes, it's better.
Okay. So sir, thanks for the opportunity. I have recently started tracking this company, and I have a few questions regarding the CapEx program. So I just wanted to know how much total CapEx have you planned for Amta and Panchla, and how much of that is currently completed? And also, second thing is that what kind of products are we planning to manufacture through this facility for Amta and Panchla?
See, initially our plan for Panchla and Amta was quite lesser, but the CapEx amount got increased because of inflation and because of foreign exchange fluctuation. That's number one. And now, we believe that by Q4 FY26, everything will be ready, but some payments are still pending, which are scattered in next 6 months to 1 year timeline.
Okay. Can you quantify, sir, what will be the total CapEx amount for this facility?
Currently in Panchla and Amta put together, we have injected about to be, and of course, with the existing some capacity also, we injected about to be, the total CapEx program was about to be 550-600 crore rupees.
550-560.
Yeah. 550-600.
Okay. And so could you elaborate on what kind of products are we planning to manufacture to this facility?
Can you repeat your question, please?
So I just wanted to know what kind of products are we planning to manufacture through this facility?
In Panchla facility, we are launching some products where we are doing capacity expansion on certain products. And in Panchla, we are also launching cell culture products. Apart from that, we already launched the bioprocess product like PET, PETG bottles, and roller bottles. That's Panchla. And in Amta facility, we are doing the recent plant. We already completed the export and domestic warehouse also, And along with that, we are also doing some small manufacturing for certain capacity expansion on new products also.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rushil from Pink Wealth. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes.
Please go ahead.
So my question is regarding the distribution network. Since we see north and in east side, we have the number of distributions are higher, but the percentage of sales, if we see, is not contributing much compared to the south, where distributors are less. So can we say that north and east market is very competitive or fragmented?
No, it is not like that. The distribution of all the distribution of market to all the distributors is on the basis of different kind of end customer geography, right?
I just make it more clear. You see, basically, we have not many pharma and biopharma companies in south and west, which we don't have in north and east. So that is the reason the business is very, very scattered in north and east. Whereas in south and west, the customers are also more, and the volume of intake is also much more.
So sir, is there any room that, you know, to increase the more products or, you know, towards north and east side? Can we say that going forward?
No, basically, you see, demand for such bioprocessed products is not there in North and East.
Okay.
The demand will be only there in South and West, where you have got pharma and biopharma industries.
Okay, got it. And so, like, this one, just wanted to have some confusion regarding the CapEx. You said that in Panchla and Atma together, CapEx we have done is 550 crores, right?
No. What I said is that my total CapEx is about 550 to 600 crores, including all CapEx. The breakup approximate ballpark figure is like, you know, 350 crore rupees for 300 crore rupees for Panchla, about to be 150 crore for Amta, and about to be 100 crore for the existing plants.
Okay. And sir, in Amta, in Atma, basically, is there a fulfillment center and sterilization plant, or are we going to manufacture some products also?
We are also manufacturing some products also there.
We initiated that as well.
We initiated some product manufacturing there, that the machine and molds commissioning is going on. We are hopeful that in next couple of months the production will start.
So that will be for the existing products or new products?
That is for the existing products.
Existing products. And for Panchla, you said that it will be fully for new products, or there also it will be the mix of existing and new products?
Mix of existing and new products. We are doing capacity expansion on pipette tips. And we already launched new products like bioprocess products like PT, PTG, roller bottles. And now, in next 2 to 3 months, we are going to launch the cell culture products as well.
Okay. And sir, just last question, that we have spent this capex of 550 to 600 crore overall. How much asset turnover should we expect on gross block level? Peak revenue?
We should estimate about to be 0.7 to 0.8 kind of asset turnover.
Okay, sir. And sir, since this new products, you know, which we are going to launch, so like, how confident are you that, you know, that we'll be able to, you know, sell it fast, because, you know, it takes a lot of approval time also, right? So just wanted to understand that, you know, how we are going to ramp up for the new products. I know it will take 3 to 5 years, but what is your, like, business roadmap plan? If you can just explain us and tell us that how much time also it takes, you know, to get a product approval and get into commercialization.
We have a robust sales team both in domestic as well as in export market. So the first step is to send the product for the validations and approval, and then, you know, to talk with the end customers at a different level to understand what kind of challenges they are facing to shift the product from the existing suppliers to Tarsan. Of course, the immediate shift is not going to happen. If they are purchasing by importing certain products, so lead time is high. So the shift will be gradual. Shift will not be immediate.
Okay. And for existing products, I think we'll be able to sell fast, right? Since we are already selling those products, so we have that validation also.
Yeah, we believe so.
Okay, sir. And sir, how we are seeing the demand? If you can just throw some light in export and domestic market.
Inquiries are good in export market. In case of domestic market, Sometimes we see good inquiries, sometimes we see some kind of, you know, flattish kind of situation. Competition is high, so we need to work really hard to increase our wallet share.
But I think 3-5 years back, you know, we used to say that, you know, we have a, like, you know, brand awareness, you know, there's among the customers, and also there are like MNC companies, you know, where we have a price differential advantage also. So from where this competition is coming, and you see going forward, once demands come back, this competition will be scattered?
What is happening, the MNC company which we talked about 3 to 4 years back, these MNC companies are doing subcontracting from the local supplier, local manufacturer also. So they are as competitive as they are as other local players are there. So that is one of the reasons why competition increased. And second part is that, you know, it is not a unique product, right? Anyone can enter into this market. Only thing is about the quality and what kind of uses are there.
Okay, so going forward, we can say that even for the next two to three years, there will be competition will be there, and it will be difficult for the price hike also in the domestic market, and that is why we are focusing more in the export market.
The competition was there, is there, and will be there, right? And in every product in every industry, right? So it does not mean that, you know, the growth will not be there. Growth will of course be there. Tarsan's already reached to this kind of level, and we are launching new products also. We are going to gain the market share also. We need to be resilient and we need to be confident on ourselves.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, previously, sir, maybe 1 or 2 years back, sir, in an investor presentation, we had mentioned that the Indian plastic labware industry was expected to grow to 2,600-2,700 crores in FY25. Sir, so what is the current status and, sir, what is the shift between movement from glass labware to plastic labware in India as well as globally over the past 3-4 years? And if you could help us understand the trend here.
So regarding our investor presentation, whatever industry data has been given, that is actually based from our IPO prospectus. At the time of our IPO, we have conducted a kind of market research from Frost & Sullivan, and these projections has been published by Frost & Sullivan report, right? And second part is that these projections has been given in FY21, and the market got sluggish in FY23 and FY24 post COVID, right? So that's the reason those projections may not have been, you know, have been satisfied in FY24 FY25. And your second question was related to shifting from glass and plastic. As we already said in our previous calls also, glass is not a competition. There is no competition between glass and plastic. Plastic has its own use and glass has its own use. They have a different market. Some overlap may be there, but both are working independently.
Sir, so I'm trying to understand, sir, what would be the current market size, and sir, sir, what is the shift that we can expect from the industry moving? So I understand that there might be some segment that will be using glass where acid would be required or some other chemicals would be required. But in segments where plastic is competitive, I'm trying to understand what shift it can be and what is the current market size for the plastic glassware industry.
So there will be no shift from glass to plastic and vice versa. What we can say is that plastic labware market currently is 1200 crore rupees, and the expansion of plastic labware market will be more in compared to glass. For example, whatever data we have seen previously, 20 years back, the glass market was 75% and plastic market was 25%. Now, glass is 50% and plastic is also 50%. Going forward, of course, the share will increase, but this share will not increase by shifting from glass. This share will increase because of the larger expansion in plastic labware in compared to the glass.
So, Mr. Rathi has left the chat. Due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you all for joining us today. I hope we have addressed all your questions. We remain committed to keeping the investment community informed with regular updates on our development. For any further information or query regarding Tarsus, please feel free to reach out to us or our investor relations partner SGA. Once again, thank you for your time and support.
On behalf of Tarsus Product Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.